For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, what's going on, everyone? Joe to Cameron Jenrich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you. Off and rolling on this Wednesday morning. Well, what an unbelievable game last night. Really, in many ways, an outrageous Phillies game, but one that ends in a W because of Mr. Kyle Schwarber and some other guys. But because of Mr. Kyle Schwarber, look, we'll talk about that. We'll have some fun. That was something. You know, now 2 days till the Eagles and the Packers in Brazil, so that is really barreling toward us. We'll have Shil Kapadia and Ross Tucker both on the show today to preview both the game and the season. Certainly great to be with you. You can join us 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Jen. Hold on. Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Joe Richie. 50 years old today.
Yeah.
Five frickin' oh. And John, because you know my theory that most people alive today, around our age, most will get to 100 and beyond, you are not on the back nine. You're good. You're on the start of the ninth hole right now.
That sounds like a good plan.
You're good, man. You're good.
That.
You're good. How do you feel?
Thank you. Yeah, exactly the same. I feel fine.
How could he not feel better after you just told him he's just starting the back nine? He's
He's not starting the back nine.
He hasn't begun the back. He's hanging out after you know, at the little shack to get a bite to eat.
Kyle Schwarber almost gave you a gift last night, although technically that was in the PM. But it was sort of like an early birthday gift, if you will, because, you know, that was a...
I'm less than half dead.
You're less than half dead. That's right.
Less than half dead.
That's right.
I do believe that, so thank you for that. Kyle Schwarber also.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Give me a fact, John. What do you got here?
Chevy Chase, right?
The person or the town?
The person.
Okay.
Love everything he did going back to, you know, Saturday Night Live.
Except being a jerk.
He seems a little jerky
now
in his old
age. Yeah, he does.
But just, you know, comedically and whatnot, just gold.
It was unbelievable.
When he was in college, he played drums in a jazz rock trio called Leather Canary.
Yeah, I would not have known that.
When he quit Leather Canary because he decided to go off and, you know, be a comedian.
Be Chevy Chase, yeah.
Yeah. The Leather Canary members decided to keep going together as a duo and changed their name to Steely Dan.
Oh, really? That's a fact.
It's incredible.
Richie bringing it in his 51st
Steely Dan,
year.
Steely Dan, man.
How about that? That's all right,
Chevy Chase.
That is a good fact. All right, so look, obviously.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy Seltzer gave me that fact.
That's a good one. All right,
so it's my birthday present.
For everyone listening, if you want to wish John a happy birthday, please do. 215-592-9494. Come armed with a point about sports, you know, what's going on, including Kyle Schwarber. But, John, we will have some fun with your birthday today. We're happy for you. So
thanks, man.
We're also happy because of the Phils. I mean, look, there's some good and some bad last night, quite obviously. But, and especially for everyone listening right now who, you know, I know early in the morning, perhaps you didn't see it through the end last night. I mean, let me just tell you, Kyle Schwarber was a beast times a man, times a tank, times a nuclear weapon. Like, he won the game. Like, he ended it all.
Schwarber, one of the great individual Phillies performances in a regular season game we've ever seen.
It was unbelievable. No so, doubt. Five hits, six RBIs, three home runs. And yes, I will say RBIs today 10 times, not RBI. I want to hear almost how it ended.
I can't do the RBI thing.
Ridiculous. All right. So obviously,
it's correct.
Because it's a road game, obviously it ends with the Phillies pitching last night, and they closed it down eventually at the very end. But basically, Kyle Schwarber got them there, courtesy of 1-2, three home runs.
Swung on, blasted, deep right field, it's so long gone! And the Phillies lead it on a three-run homer by Kyle Schwarber, his third home run of the night. What a night for Schwarber and the Phillies, who now lead it 10-8.
Phenomenal.
Here in the ninth inning.
It really was. I mean, it was quite a moment, John.
It's remarkable when you got guys gleefully laughing, like truly because they are happy for the good fortune of us as a city because our team is so exciting Schwarber is so good.
Yeah.
But does Schwarber have a little cup like this one?
What's
a little
that?
Gold cup? Look at this, guys.
Is that a birthday present for you?
I think I got a present from Ava or something, which seems very victorious.
It does.
Thank you.
It does.
I feel like I won a cup in Mario Kart.
Well,
you won
real life. Phillies game last night.
Yes, yes. You know? Oh, yeah. You know what? That did feel like a huge win in real life, and it was an upset when you think about the way we felt at certain points in that game.
No question.
So are you telling me last night that you had faith that we would pull that out when things seemed dire?
No.
Actually, when Taiwan got finished making it, 8-4?
I believe that's correct.
When Taiwan got finished with that, your first thought was the game's over?
My first thought is the Phillies will likely lose.
Wow.
I mean, yeah,
it's 6-1, same thing.
I thought of you and I thought of that.
Of course.
And like, couldn't you also have thought, like, man, this team, they know they got to pick it up because Taiwan's out there.
I could have, but I didn't.
Man, they're frustrated. Yeah. Well, they're probably going to get it together because they're so frustrated.
Really, last night was the first win in a game that Taiwan Walker pitched in since May 22nd.
Oh
so,
God.
No, I did not think they were going to win.
Wow.
That's wonderful, though. Thank you, fellas, for figuring out how to manage
all right,
that.
So last night's game is obviously on the table to be discussed. 215-592-9494. Let's drill down for a moment the good and the bad. And I'm going to start bad because the game started bad. I mean, technically the game started good. Schwarber had a home run right out of the gate. But the Phillies were in a 6-2, was it one hole or two hole right away?
6-1.
6-1 right away. All right. So let me just address the bad. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, and this is not breaking news, there is no fifth starter in this organization right now. Doesn't exist.
Tyler Phillips is in no way salvageable.
Option. Doesn't
like,
exist.
He just because he
legitimately
he was
might be worse than Taiwan.
Yeah,
no, like, no,
yeah
as
yeah.
an option.
Yeah,
so it was just because he was new. No one had the black book on him. That's why he had success. Now that's completely over.
And he might have just gotten on a heater and just had a good little stretch there.
Here's the deal.
All right, so no fifth starter now. You don't have like 4 months to go left in the season, so hopefully you can hang on. By the way, Brewers lost last night. Philly's a game and a half up on the 2 seed. You really want to get the first or the second seed and get that bye. So hopefully they can hang on. But just know this. I mean, every fifth day or thereabout, they're going to put a guy out there that just has no real shot. Taiwan got in the game, middle of the game, gave up a couple runs, pitched 3 innings. I mean, it wasn't good. So, you know, obviously there's no one from the minor leagues.
So hittable. Yeah, he was so diagnosable by the opponent.
So this is one of the few times, because believe me when I say there haven't been many, but this is one of the few times where I do really question Dave Dombrowski. I mean, he made a decision at the trade deadline. There was no starting pitcher acquisition like last year when they got that dude to pitch the no-hitter and became the sixth starter. Like, let me put it this way. Right now, and this is not an overstatement, I think all of us would take Vince Velasquez over what they got. I mean, what that slop was for 3 or 4 years, and that was slop, okay? That guy is like twice as good as anybody they have right now as the fifth starter. So what does it mean?
Vinny V, is twice as good.
Well, I don't know what he is now, but he certainly was 5 years ago, and he stunk then. So what's my point? My point is this. Dombrowski has played with fire with not addressing at the trade deadline this. And look, the Turnbull thing is bad luck. The injury lingered longer than people thought. So hopefully they get to the finish line and the fifth starter issue doesn't cost them a bye. It may, but last night the bats, now let's talk about the good. Last night, the bats obviously delivered.
18 hits.
Right, right. I mean, in an amazing way.
Cody Clemens with a couple.
Got to tell you, I like Cody Clemens.
Those are bats, man.
I want to find a way for that guy to be on the playoff roster.
I do, too. Just to give you an at-bat like that when you need it. Foul some balls off.
Well, John,
you
say, of course. He just came out from the minors. He'd been in the minors for like the last 2 months or something.
And look, I don't know. I don't understand those numbers. I know things will expand.
Well, we'll have to figure out.
It felt like he would be like a foregone conclusion when things get bigger. When that roster expands, man, this guy, every time he's been brought up, every time he's been called upon, it's like his preparation serves him well. I feel the same way about Garrett Stubbs. I feel the same way about Nick Castellanos. You know, let's hope he's getting beaned.
Yeah, we got to look at the roster.
They all prepare hard, and it does serve them well.
Yeah, so look, 215-592-9494. Seltzer, at some point, we got to do an exercise. If Cody Clemens makes the playoff roster, who doesn't? I don't know what the answer is, but somebody's got to go because this guy's got to be on the playoff roster. All right. Now, one other thing on the bad side, I got to say this. I got to say this.
Taiwan Walker. You know,
They could go with one less pitcher.
Sure.
They probably won't. Taiwan's not going to be on it anyway.
It's not him. It could be one of those other.
It's like Wes Wilson, more likely.
Yeah.
That type of guy.
Now, one more thing. Last night really also showed, and this is a negative. I mean, the four main starters, none of them better get hurt. Because we're all going on the principle that they got four starters for the postseason. God forbid one of those guys gets hurt. Because I think what they would go to is a bullpen game in the playoffs. You can't pitch Taiwan. You can't pitch Phillips. You can't pitch these guys. I mean, you just can't.
Right, but fortunately, every other team, for the most part, is in the same boat.
Has struggles at the back end.
Pitchers.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, you know,
this is pretty epic.
The four-man rotation is normal for the postseason.
This is pretty epic, though. I mean, right now, they fall off a cliff.
And
at five,
it feels like every other team does too, unless they're an exception.
Well, you kind of think with the payroll the Phillies have. And the options they had at the trade deadline, they probably should not have fallen off this cliff. But
everything
anyway.
Was overpriced
but look,
at the deadline.
I know. All right. So they win the game last night. Credit to the hitters. Credit to Schwarber. Credit to all the relievers, you know, not named Taiwan. And Strom, of course, gave up a run at the end. All this on the table. So, too, of course, you want to wish John a happy birthday. We'll get into the Eagles. I've got an Eagles topic I want to present next. It's an important, important point for this season. And I'm curious where everyone stands with Jalen Hurts on that.
John Ritchie, Coach Ramil calling from the Napa Valley. Happy number 50. You have certainly crammed a lot of wonderful things in your first 50 years. May the next 50 be equally as successful and happy for you. Again, happy number 50 from the Napa Valley. Coach Dick Ramil.
Showing John the love today. I think Seltzer might be playing his favorite music today as well. I just got a feeling. Dick Ramil checking in. Isn't that great, John?
Thank you, Coach Vermeil. I can't tell you how honored that makes me feel.
Yep.
Like, that is a man who, as you know, Joe, standing in the same room next to him, it's like there's a magnet pulling you across the room to his side. And everything he says, it resonates in your ears. Everything he says matters so much more than everything else you've ever heard. And when he talks directly to you, everyone else disappears. Like, it is absolutely palpable why he was one of the greatest coaches to ever coach. When you meet Dick Vermeil.
That's right.
And man, it really is an honor. So thank you.
Now, John, don't let this stuff go to your head, just so you know. Okay.
I will try.
Seltzer, it's one day all love to John, and then, I'm joking around. All right,
don't let it go to his head.
That is damn impressive, what you do!
All right, so look,
me!
You want to wish John a happy birthday? Please do. 215-592-9494. John, you'll be hearing some of those messages on various returns as we do the show today. All right, Phil's win last night. I think a pretty thought-provoking Eagles question in just a moment. Matt in Quakertown right now. Matt, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. How are you today? Good morning.
Doing great, Matt.
Awesome. Happy birthday, John.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you. I think I will.
So, absolutely. Why not? Hey, great night last night with the Phillies, with Schwarber to the likes of being in that rank with Mike Schmidt. But a lot of other guys contributed last night, too.
Sure did. I'll say.
We can go on and on and talk about Schwarber as much as possible. But, you know, Turner had a good night, too. You know, Turner was in, you know, and then Harper had that nice hit to the outfield. And just it was, in the beginning, it was a little skeptical when I was sitting there. I'm like, oh, man, Schwarber's going to be on fire tonight. Hits that home run first up. And then that second inning was just like, oh, I got sick, man. I took my dog out for a walk.
Jeez.
Then I came
by the second inning, I think you mean the bottom of the first, right?
Yeah. Bottom of the first.
Okay, fair enough.
Probably the pitching change when they brought Tanner Banks in. It's like, all right, I'm out of here.
So early in the morning, gentlemen.
I understand.
Holy cow. No, we had Jose Alvarado on the mound last night. It felt like
in the
it
third
was,
inning.
Yeah,
that's right.
It was the third,
right?
Was the third inning. Right.
It was bizarre. And it still felt like, you know what? This team is going to fight because I know the Blue Jays are, you know, they're not that great. We still have a chance with this offense if they can actually put some solid approaches together.
You know who
and
went
they did just that.
You know who went 0 for 3? Rojas, guys, I looked at his numbers after the game. He has a slugging percentage below 300. It's almost impossible.
Wow.
It's almost impossible.
Hard to have an on-base percentage.
Right. Yeah. Scott had a couple of hits last
he
night.
He is a disaster. But yes, the rest of the guys did their job, and that includes
Bryson Stott, who
Trey Turner
struggled from time to time, was able to, you know, JT Realmuto, who, man, when he doesn't have the leg kick timed up properly, we know it spells trouble. Like, it feels like I can trust him with that foot and the timing and everything.
Well, look, it's an important postseason for him, and we'll see what JT's got coming up next month. 215-592-9494. All right, so in addition to everything with the Phils, and by the way, we'll talk to Shil Kapadia in next segment, deep dive on the Eagles to preview the game and the season. I also want to get to here a Twitter poll question of the day that I think is a really important thing for the Eagles to decide upon, and ultimately for us as fans to weigh in on prior to the start of the season. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox. It sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Poll question. Now, I want you to really think of this today and try to assess what's the right answer to this question, and specifically weigh in at 215-592-9494. Here's the question. Should the Eagles run Jalen Hurts a lot like they did early in his career? Those first few years in his career when he was running a lot. Now, I'm not talking, you know, the quarterback sneak for a yard. I'm talking about, you know, design runs, some power draws. I'm talking about the read option where he might keep it and try to get around the edge, you know, 4 to 7 times a game. Sometimes he's going to get down. Sometimes he's going to get out of bounds. Sometimes he's going to get licked by a linebacker, right? We know this. It was a dynamic element of his game and created a dynamic element within the Eagles offense that helped the running game for the running backs, helped the passing game. I mean, when they were humming in 2022, he did it a lot. We saw in the first game of 2023, in the first drive, the Eagles were playing the New England Patriots, and we had talked often in the offseason, you know, should they dial him back? Should they run him a lot? Should they dial him? It's like Les Filling. Tastes great. And I was of the mindset, dial him back as a believer in Jalen, who showed me enough in 2022 to believe that his arm and his head and his processing, like, okay, he can be a pocket quarterback, run a little bit, but dial it back. And we saw early that clearly that was the intention. He was getting down sooner than he previously had. He was running less than he previously had. It was very evident. All right, here's the question.
He was hurt.
No, he became hurt eventually, but initially he was not. So here's the question.
Well, I think there's a causality question mark with
all
that.
Well, you can think that. What to do with Hurts with running? I want everyone to weigh in today, 215-592-9494. We all know this. If there's like one game left in the season, go wild, because you can't get knocked out for 7 weeks from now if there's no game left. When it's September and you're trying to get to February, is it go wild time and have him do everything he can, Or is it be careful time because it's a long road within the season and within his career? John, what say you? What would be your strategy?
Look, I say run him more if that's what you perceive
more than
they
last year?
Did.
Well, last year was, yes, you're saying more than last year.
Yes, but I'm saying that you have a misconception of how much he's been running. I think that when you look at the numbers, 2023, he had 157 carries during the regular season, 17 games.
Well, you got, and I take out all those quarterback sneaks, to be
okay,
clear.
And I don't know how to do that because I'm not going to go back through and, you know, look which ones were sneaks
sure,
or not.
Sure, sure.
I know he ran sneaks every year. I know that he ran more, you know, quarterback powers in 2021.
He sure did.
Than he did in 2023. I would guess in 2023, he didn't run well. He was wearing the big brace. It didn't behoove the team to say, hey, let's run a jet sweep where you keep this thing because he didn't have the speed to get to that edge. So, no, I don't want him carrying the ball if he doesn't have the physical capability to make defenders miss or to outrun defenders. So I do think that does influence the way that these carries worked out. In 2022, he had 11 carries a game, 165 carries over 15 games.
Yep.
11 carries a game. That's when it felt like he was running more quarterback power.
That's a lot for a quarterback. Yeah.
But 2021, he had 9.3 carries a game.
Yep.
That's just right where he was last season. 9.3 in 2021, 9.2 in 2023.
Let me just say this.
Last year.
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Was less of the design stuff.
That's right.
More of the sneak stuff.
That's right.
A lot more pedestrian rushing.
I agree.
And you look at the numbers, the yardage was significantly down. Because, you know, he had 605 yards rushing last season and 784 the season where he had success.
And that's a ton. That's a ton of yards for a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, no, he was not dynamic last year. I don't want him to run it if he's not dynamic. So there are a lot of factors that we have to, you know, think into this decision.
Well, let me try to frame the question this way. John, would you in week one be comfortable with Jalen six times pulling it to try to get around the edge?
Yes, I would. But I'm not crazy about that as a game plan.
Okay.
I understand maybe that's the baseline where you have to set a hard line like to defenses. Hey, look, we are willing to do this. We are willing to risk his health and safety just so that they know they have to hold that backside.
See, John,
they have to honor him
rusher. I think that is such a great point. So last year, DeAndre Swift started out, he looked like an all-pro, okay? First couple games. I mean, after the first game when he didn't play. But second and third game, he looked like, I don't know, I don't want to say Earl Campbell, but he looked great, okay?
Well, the second game was like the unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. And I am convinced that part of the reason DeAndre Swift's success and the offense's success went down as the year went on, and went down dramatically, obviously, was the threat was no longer there, John.
They didn't respect it.
Yeah, they didn't respect it because he wasn't keeping it. So why should that edge, you know, try to keep contain on a quarterback that's never getting out there?
It's a week-to-week proposition. Like, they will watch. They will see the way you play it, and they'll react accordingly.
So let me just say, I am torn on this issue. Okay, for all the obvious reasons.
You didn't want him to run last year.
I did not, but then I saw the result,
and it
concerned me. Yeah. So I also know there's more talent here than there ever used to be. so the need to run should be less prevalent. For instance, Donovan needed to run more in 2000 than in 2004. In 2000, he's playing with freaking, you know, Torrance Small and Charles Johnson. And in 2004, he's got, you know, Brian Westbrook and Terrell Owens. So what you have around you should influence what the strategy should be with the quarterback. Here's where I net out. Closer to 22 than 23. I just think for Jalen to be at his best and for this team to be at his best, the Eagles need to take a risk that, frankly, I'm not really comfortable with, but I think is necessary for them to be on high octane. So, you know, I know Jaws, you know, we talked to him yesterday. He doesn't want to see the quarterback run much. I get that.
You know what you're talking about in terms of numbers, right? The difference between 2022 and 2023.
Yeah, but they have been...
The numbers are just small. Like, it's 165 carries, 157 yeah. carries. It's marginal.
But the numbers are not... Ruben had the numbers
I agree.
Over 2021 and 2022, Hurts had the six most 10-yard runs in the league, 55. 20 yards run 14. Last year, he ranked 34th, mm-hmm. which is 11 yards of at least 10 yards. And
because
53rd
year,
with 120.
That's incredible.
The way he ran it was, let's push it forward for a first down for 1 yard.
Well, they did that more than they ever had.
Cram this.
That's right.
Last season.
All right, so I want to know where you stand. I mean, we're kind of like last call for alcohol here for the start of the season. Get on the record on what you think the Eagles' strategy will be and what you think the Eagles' strategy should be with Jalen's rush.
Hey, it's Mike Quick wishing John Ritchie a happy 50th birthday. Enjoy, you old fart.
Look at Quick checking in. Love it. Oh, hold on.
I'm still not allowed to talk.
Jimi Hendrix action on a Wednesday morning. Richie's 50th birthday. Great to be with you. 215-592-9494. Hey, by the way, when you call in today, you know, Eagles and Phils, everything on the table, you can also win a pair of tickets to see Rob Zombie with Alice Cooper at Freedom Mortgage Pavilion coming up on September 8th in just a couple days. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Now, here's how we're giving these away today. Ticketmaster.com, of course, you can purchase them, but you can also win them today. You know, John is not yet what you'd call old. He's getting closer, but he's not old.
He's not young.
He's not young. He's definitely not young.
In some circles, 50 might be considered old, Joe.
Well, 40 years ago, probably. Like 80 years ago.
Like, there's never been a 50-year-old dog. A dog can't.
I think that's right.
Never been a 30-year-old dog. Right, barely.
Here's the deal. When you call in today, give us from movies and TV shows and books the best old person character ever. Now, it can be character that, like, you love. It can be character that you hate.
Up, man.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, John, you're...
Best old person character?
Give me an old person.
You're basing this on...
Yeah, you.
Yeah. Old person?
Well, where you're headed.
I'm an old person?
Yeah, where you're headed. Where you're headed. All right.
I don't know that I can get behind this, the camera.
You know what? I would say...
old person?
Oh, Seltzer doesn't have the drop board ready. I play a drop, and it just doesn't fire.
It should have fired.
Didn't fire.
Hit it again.
That's all right. All right, so here's the deal.
Because that's an issue. I got to get an engineer then.
Here's the deal. I need an answer today from everyone at 215-592-9494. Best old character ever. You might love him. You might hate him. Like Yoda.
I take Yoda?
Go for it. You got it. Seltzer, give me a character. Old. What are you thinking here, James?
I'll give you Anthony Hopkins from The Father. Not a winning answer, but he's amazing in that movie.
I got a question for you guys. When we see the lightsaber that Yoda uses in the newer series... Mm-hmm. Does that bother you?
I don't watch the newer series.
But you've seen his lightsaber.
Oh, you mean
the movies.
You mean in 1, 2,
and
3?
The new movies. The newer.
7, 8, 9.
Yes, 7, 8, 9. His tiny little lightsaber.
Well, Yoda's not in 7, 8, 9. He's in 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
He's in the other ones too, isn't he?
He dies. He's dead by the time you get to 7, 8, and 9.
We're talking about the young ones.
From 20 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, I'm with you. Go ahead.
After Star Wars: Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Yes,
when they came back, and there was Jar Jar, yep, and there was everything else. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm with you.
Those movies, yes, right there. His lightsaber was too. It wasn't even dangerous. It was like the size of a pen, like a pencil or something, like a churro. It was completely harmless. I don't care how aerially expert Yoda can be, and he's doing all sorts of flips and stuff.
He's doing the flips.
That tiny little pencil is not going to have the reach to do any harm on a Sith.
Maybe that's why he lost and the Emperor won. Ray, give me an answer, an old character.
Argo, you know what yourself.
Yeah, that guy.
Alan Arkin as producer Lester Siegel in Argo. I just loved him.
Look, there are some really big answers. Give us great answers today for old characters, movies, TV shows, books. Best answer wins the tickets. Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper. All right, let's talk to Sheil Kapadia. He is going to join us every single Wednesday at this time, all throughout the football season. It is wonderful to talk to one of the great writers, great videographers, great... Sheil, you kind of are like a multimedia everything guy at this point, right? You're long past where you were 10 years ago. Hello, Sheil.
That's right, 10 years ago and 8 years ago we started, so happy anniversary to us doing this for the 8th year in a row. So
that's right.
I can say I knew John Ritchie when he was 42, so happy birthday to Ritchie. I've known him for most of his 40s, so happy birthday.
Wow, thanks, Sheil. We go way back.
I love it, my man. Sheil, of course, from The Ringer, as he always is. All right, so Sheil, there's so much to get to here. Let me start where we were last segment. To run Jalen Hurts a lot or not, I mean, we know he's dynamic. We also know they chose to do it less last year, and we know 3 years in a row he's gotten banged up in the process of running or getting hit or whatever. What would your strategy be if you're the Eagles?
Yeah, I think you have to use him in the run game. I think you're chasing that 2022 version of this offense in a way. You saw how dynamic it was, how easily they move the football, and I understand the injury risk, but man, look around the league how quarterbacks are getting injured. It's not just when they're running. It's in the pocket. It's going to be a risk, and I understand it's more of a risk if you've got the ball more and you're getting hit more. I do think for the most part he has done a pretty good job of getting down, so I think the run game has to be a part of this offense, and I think it will be a part of this offense.
How much different is Kellen Moore's offense going to be departure-wise from what we saw last year, which I would call dreck?
That's right.
No, I would call it that as well, and that's if we're being kind to it. I mean, I thought it was one of the worst schemed, worst coached offenses in the NFL. So this is why Friday is going to be so fun. We're going to get answers to that question. Now, I think it's going to be different in that they're going to add layers to the offense. They're going to mix in some of those things we've talked about before on this show, a little more motion before the snap. Maybe you mix in under center and do some play action off of that. Maybe you attack no team through the middle of the field, where every team in the NFL, almost every team, has linebackers who struggle to cover these guys, and yet no team threw to the middle of the field less than the Eagles last season. So all those things where they were all on an extreme where they didn't do any of it, I think you're going to see him mix in, hopefully, a lot of those things this Friday and throughout the season.
I sure hope so. Sheil, I want to play some audio for you. Speaking of this offense, you know, how it's going to come together on a weekly basis, I want to play audio of Sirianni from just a couple days ago. We referenced this yesterday. I want to get your interpretation of how involved he'll be with the offense. I don't think it's much. And I think Sirianni is kind of telling us as much with the way he references things at the podium. Here's Sirianni a few days ago about what's going to happen this year.
When it comes to offensive game planning, I know that was a really big role of yours in the past. How much does that change with Kellen here?
Yeah, you know, obviously love going into the offensive game plan meetings and really had, you know, obviously we're 2 days into, or we've been game planning a little bit longer than that, but you know, going in there and sitting in there and listening and contributing, but also being able to step out if I need to go talk to a player, being able to step out and, you know, go talk to Howie about the roster, or being able to step out, go check in on the defense. I find that very freeing, you know, that I'm able to stretch myself to different spots that I'm needed, and not have to be hunkered down into. You ask Howie, he'd be like, "Man, I couldn't get a hold. I couldn't see Nick for Monday, Tuesday, after the players left. It just wasn't a lot of opportunities." But being able to do that is really important. But also being able to give my expertise in the offensive room is really important as well.
All right, Shiel, your interpretation of sitting in there, listening, contributing, stepping out.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have a good idea of how this thing played out, where at the end of last season, when they're taking 9 days to decide whether they want to keep Nick Sirianni, that, you know, I don't know if it was an ultimatum, but I think it was pretty clear to Nick Sirianni that if you want to remain in this job, that you're going to have to hand the keys over to a lot of these things, and one of those things is the offense. You know, when we saw those pictures of Jeffrey Lurie sitting in the box at the end of last year looking so annoyed, yeah. Obviously part of that was with how the team played in the defense, but in my opinion, this is a guy who knows that offense wins in the modern NFL, and he's looking at his roster going, this is one of the best offensive rosters we've ever put together, and this is the product on the field. In my opinion, I think that probably irked him more than anything else about the way last season played out. So, yeah, I think it's Kellen Moore has the keys to this offense.
Shiel, how will Kellen factor Saquon into our offense?
Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, how many snaps he plays. Like, is he going to come off the field at all? Or are they going to think about, hey, preserve this guy, it's a running back later? Because he's their best guy at all the things, you know, running yeah. The football, pass protection, certainly on third down. He's easily their best guy in terms of blitz pickup, catching the football. So you look at all the numbers with Barkley, and this is the best situation he's ever been in. I mean, you look at DeAndre Swift played here. He got paid. Miles Sanders played here. He got paid. And so when you have the offensive line, when you have the scheme, when you have Jalen Hurts as a threat, as a runner, it's a high ceiling for Saquon Barkley and what he can do in this offense.
And then who's next? Is it Will Shipley or is it Kenny Gainwell?
It's a great question.
How much does that matter?
That might be a better question. I don't know that it matters. I think they're probably at a similar level. Now, it depends with Shipley. I know at training camp he had some issues with pass protection, but then in the games he did it pretty well. So I think that's the big thing.
What a nice way to put that, Shiel. Mm. He had some issues with pass protection. When I watched Shipley in training camp, there were a couple occasions, and good for N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean destroyed him. I mean, like, it was a laugher. Like a flatbacker. Like, he took him and drove him into the ground.
Yeah.
Destroy him.
Hey, Shiel, I want to, you know, there's three notable Eagles from the past few years, two of whom from the past decade plus, that aren't Eagles anymore. Kelce Cox and Hassan Reddick. I'm curious from your standpoint, with who has replaced them, which do you think is the biggest drop-off?
I would still go Kelce. You know, I know they planned for this with Cam Jurgens, and maybe, you know, he was a good prospect. I liked him coming out of college. At the same time, he's an unknown. He didn't play great last year at right guard. He also didn't get through the season. That's one thing we take for granted with Kelce. You never had to worry about him missing games for whatever it was, a decade plus, where he was always on the field. So I think if you ask me this question in week six, I could have a different answer, because I think there's a possibility that Cam Jurgens plays really well. I think they're thin at edge, so they could miss Reddick maybe more than we're thinking about right now. And then Fletcher Cox, I thought, was one of their most consistent defensive players last year. So I have high hopes for Jalen Carter, but beyond that, that's a bit of a question mark too. So it's been a bit, as you lay that out, it's been a bizarro offseason. We're talking about a running back addition. We're talking about them losing guys on the offensive and defensive lines, and so that's one of the reasons why there's so much intrigue here. It looks a little different than it's looked in a while here.
Shiel, Devin White and Zach Bond, how much separates them from N'Kobe Dean and Axe Jr.? That's what he wants to be called, right?
He wants to be called Axeman Jr.
Yeah. So Devin White, Zach Bond, how much better are they than N'Kobe and Axeman Jr., and how much sackage should we expect from the inside linebackers in Vic Fangio's defense?
Yeah, I don't know that there's a big gap between those guys. I mean, I need to see it. If you're talking about how Devin White played last year, then I can't imagine that there's much of a gap there. And then Zach Bond has barely done this before. The guy's barely played off-ball linebacker before, so I think you could see different rotations, different lineups as the season goes on, depending on how guys are playing. And yeah, I think they're going to, you know, send those guys, especially Devin White. He's put up some big sack numbers. And so if you have a guy you're not comfortable with in coverage, you know, a lot of what Vic Fangio does is, hey, we're only going to rush four, but you're not going to know which four are coming. So it could mean you're dropping an edge player and you're rushing Devin White. So it's not like those all-out blitzes that, you know, we've seen in the past. This is the new trend in the NFL. The same number is rushing four, but you're trying to confuse the quarterback, confuse the offensive line about which guys are going after the quarterback. So I could definitely see Devin White in that role.
Jordan Davis, how ready is he this year? And then, geez, I guess guys like Jalix Hunt, is he good enough to contribute this year? I mean, Nolan Smith, is he good enough to contribute this year? How we're worried a little bit on this D-line. How much are you, Shiel?
Yeah, no, I am a little worried about both lines. You know, I think they're going to be a really good team. I picked them to win the division, although I've said over and over again that I've never had less of a feel for an Eagle season than I do this season. It really feels like a wide range of outcomes. But Jordan Davis, I've said, hey, talk to me in week six. You know, it's great that he's having a nice summer and that he gave up the mango juice or whatever it was and that they like his conditioning. Like, I need to see it later in the season that he's able to stay on the field, that he's able to not only play well against the run, but also affect the quarterback, because that's what you drafted the guy for. And so that's how I'm going to evaluate him. So I need to see it with him. And then Jalix Hunt, I mean, I don't know, guys, edge rushers drafted in the third round usually don't come in as rookies and have major impacts. Now, he looks like he's going to be less of a project than maybe we thought he was going to be at draft time. And the other thing he's got going for him is it sounds like, you know, Fangio was on board with that pick and likes him. So, yeah, if he's good enough, that wouldn't shock me if we're having a conversation here. Hey, is he being more productive than Nolan Smith? Because we haven't seen it with Nolan Smith either.
All right, Shiel, final thing. We're getting everyone this week on the record. Season prediction. It's 17 games. How many do they win in the regular season?
Yeah, I've got them 11-6. Winning the division, winning the NFC East. I've got the Cowboys second at 9-8, and the Cowboys missing the playoffs this season.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about, Shiel.
Well, that's going to be Billy Belichick then as their head coach next year. So 11 wins.
So you think, well, I have 11-6.
I'm saying Dallas. Dallas. Dallas is coaching.
I was like, geez.
Shiel's like, what? How did you make that jump?
Dallas is coach next year. All right, Shiel, stay well, buddy. We'll talk to you all year. Again, for everyone listening, Shiel, one of the absolute best in the business from The Ringer. He'll be breaking down the game film every Wednesday morning when we talk to him, and obviously analysis on all the twists and turns. Shiel, great stuff, buddy. We look forward to it. Thanks, my man.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right, you got it. 215-592-9494. More on the Phils up ahead, plus AMA. You ask, we answer. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on a busy Wednesday morning. It's John's 50th birthday on 94 WIP.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.